The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Proverbs 20, verse 5. I am Rob West. Man's ultimate purpose is to glorify God, but deciding how we do that can be a challenge. Sometimes we need help from a trusted advisor. I'll talk about that today with Rachel McDonough, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's always a pleasure to have Rachel McDonough back with us. She's a certified financial planner and a certified kingdom advisor, and lately she's been deep in thought about Proverbs 20, verse 5, and how it relates to fulfilling our purpose in life with our financial decisions. Rachel, great to have you back with us.
Thanks, Rob. Happy to be here.
Yeah, Rachel, I think all believers would like to honor God with the way they use the resources entrusted to them, but perhaps sometimes it's difficult to find the right path for that. Would you agree with that idea?
I would, and I would say, too, our culture really makes it difficult and puts some headwinds of opposition in our path. There's so much in our culture that makes us think it's all about us, right?
Yeah.
We come to the financial planning process and we think, okay, what are my financial goals? In fact, as a financial advisor early on in my career, I was trained to ask people what are their financial goals. So we get this this notion that maybe we should dream up or conjure up some specific goals to have, and that somehow that's the pathway to meaning and purpose and success in life. But inadvertently, what can happen is that if we start with just trying to decide what our goals should be, it's almost like ready, fire, aim, right? We're starting with, what am I shooting at? What am I targeting? But we aren't taking the time necessarily to back up a step and think through a more biblical framework for how those financial goals should be derived.
That's such a big idea, Rachel, and a critical one, I think, for the believer. You know, you and I recently were at a conference together, and I remember something that one of the speakers said, Paul David Tripp. He said, "The thing that is your treasure will control your heart. And what controls your heart will control your words, your behaviors, your choices, and your decisions." The challenge is, if we start with a financial product or even a goal, we're not starting with our heart, our values, and priorities as believers. And then how can we expect to get to the right outcomes? Isn't that right?
That's exactly right. I think so many times people come to the financial planning process and they feel like there's this burden of expectation on them to already know what their financial goals are supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's almost like if you show up and your financial advisor asks you, what are your financial goals? And you say, I'm not sure.
Right.
That somehow you're failing. And there's almost this anxiety tied to that experience. I don't know if any of our listeners can relate to that. But I want to encourage us to approach the financial planning process rather than saying, ready, fire, aim. Let's take a step back and get our foundation laid through understanding our values, our priorities, and then choosing some specific financial goals that are really the right target for us to be aiming towards.
That's right. And Rachel, having someone on the outside asking the right questions really can be critical to this process, right?
It can. Oftentimes we operate with a certain set of assumptions, and if we don't have anyone ever challenge those assumptions, we can end up a little off course in changing the trajectory of our financial lives over time. So let me just give you an example from an actual client that I was privileged to counsel a few months ago through the financial planning process. They came looking for a certified kingdom advisor because they wanted a biblical approach. And when we did the values exercise, we learned, among other things, the wife really valued respect and security. The husband, two of his core values were empathy and loyalty. So we see right away there's a very loving and respectful dynamic between the husband and wife. And they came with a particular financial goal in mind of being able to build a cabin on a parcel of land, and another financial goal of being able to refinish part of their house. But as we walked through the priorities and the values process, we learned, maybe it's actually a different season that those are for, and there's a better financial goal for this season.
Oh, that's powerful. We're talking today with Rachel McDonough, certified financial planner and certified Kingdom advisor, about the role of values in our financial decision making and goals. Much more to come just around the corner. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Maybe you had this experience when you were a young child. Out and about with your mom or dad in a big store, suddenly turned around and realized you couldn't see them. Where did they go? Am I all alone? Have I been abandoned? That moment of realization and fear has to be one of the worst feelings anyone, especially a child, can experience. Think about one of the things Jesus said on the cross. Quoting Psalm 22, our Lord cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? This was suffering that you and I can't ever imagine. Jesus was forsaken so that you and I would never be forsaken by our Lord. As the prophet Isaiah reminds us, by his wounds we are healed. What a Savior. Get started with Anchor Devotional today. Visit GetAnchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
When I read the book of Esther, it just fires up my encouragement. It reminds me that when things look so bleak that you're just about ready to write the obituary, God rises up from the ash heap of your misdirected hopes, and He reverses the irreversible.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, Esther, for such a time as this, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Joining me today, Rachel McDonough, my good friend, certified Kingdom advisor and certified financial planner. We're talking about, well, Proverbs 20, verse 5. The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. How do your values and priorities as a believer inform your financial decisions and goals? And do your values inform them? And if not, perhaps it's a time to back up and really explore your values and allow your money management to be a reflection of what's most important to you as a Christ follower. Well, Rachel McDonough, as a certified Kingdom advisor, is really unpacking what that can look like today. And Rachel, before the break, you were sharing an example, a couple that came in with a particular financial goal in mind. I suspect as an advisor, you have folks coming in all the time with that approach. And yet during the course of the planning, things changed a bit. Tell us more.
Yeah, they came in hoping to build a cabin and hoping to refinish part of their home. But what we learned here, some of the financial circumstances were the wife was coming into a large inheritance from her parents. And so they really had an additional amount of resources to make some different choices with. But what I learned as I talked with them about their lifestyle and kind of uncovered some of their pain points, she was in a highly, highly stressful job. like started crying during the financial planning discussion because of the trauma that she was experiencing on a daily basis through her stressful work. Yeah. And her husband, as I mentioned, one of his values is loyalty and family. And so he's watching his wife suffer, and it's very uncomfortable for him as well. And by just tweaking the what-if scenarios in the financial plan, we were able to model out a new scenario for them that they had not really considered before, where the wife would be able to move down to a part-time position or even just earn considerably less doing a different type of work that would allow her to feel respected and secure in her work environment again. And really, that is a much higher priority for them in this season than building a cabin. Right?
Absolutely. Rachel, I'm curious, what did that process look like to uncover those values that then really became key in the planning process?
We have a values discovery tool that we use with clients, and it just gets them out of the financial mindset and thinks more, helps them to think more broadly about their main values, their core values in life in general. And then from there, we can distill some specific financial priorities and then some unique and individual goals for that season.
Yeah. Rachel, we talk a lot on this program about the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation, these men and women who've met high standards in character and competence, but have also been trained to bring a biblical worldview to their professional financial advice. How can a CKA really be key in this process?
Well, a CKA is going to have a unique mindset because what the world tells us is that it's all about us, right? Yeah. There was a financial institution that had this dream process that they trademarked where they would help clients think about what were their dreams for the future. Well, dreaming is good when we're dreaming with God. But if we're just dreaming up things for us to pursue, those can really become idols that we end up serving over time, rather than the inspired dreams that God has for us, our Ephesians 2:10, the good works that he planned in advance for us to do. So having a like-minded advisor to walk with you prayerfully through the discovery process of your values, your priorities, and the specific goals for this season as they align with God's purpose for your life is really a unique value.
That's really helpful. Rachel, can you give us some examples of the sort of questions that someone might hear from a certified kingdom advisor who's really attempting to draw out the purposes of the client's heart?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that we like to ask clients is, you know, what do you think the Lord would have you pursue? Like, what do you think God's goals for you are in this season? Another one we might ask is, at this season of life, do you need more income or more impact? And just helping clients differentiate, because if they've been in a season where they really needed to prioritize providing for their families and pursuing career goals, and now they're in a season of life where they have the opportunity and the capacity to pursue impact, we want to help them shift graciously into that new season of life and pursue all that God has made available for them.
Yeah, that's really helpful. You know, Rachel, I've answered, as you have, hundreds and hundreds, I guess on the radio here, thousands of questions from people about money and counseled with lots and lots of families. And my experience is, no matter the income level, people have guilt, shame, and regret about money. And those that are most free from the emotional byproducts of financial decision-making have really asked and answered the questions, who owns it and how much is enough? And I think as we begin to process God's ownership and our role as a steward, and then really the enough question, both for our lifestyle and our accumulation, it does completely change everything about how we approach our finances. And then if we put the values at the center of that for our personal goals as a reflection of that, it really changes the conversation. That biblical worldview of money management is completely different than what you will hear in the world and what you'll probably get from your typical advisor, right?
That's right. Hopefully the CKA is an advisor who is uniquely equipped to co-labor with God to draw out the Lord's purposes for that individual's life and not just help them to chase after things that the world tells them that they need.
Yeah. And so then if we go back to the client scenario you mentioned, Rachel, how can we then translate this newfound purpose that you've uncovered in the discovery process into real financial strategies and recommendations that are very practical?
Yeah, that's a great question because it has to be specific, right? What we decided to do with this client, the recommendations came out, and they're still wrestling through this. I don't want you to get the impression that clients instantaneously see, oh, this must be what God's plan is for my life, right? We wrestle through things and we pray over them. But the wife, we had her set up with a scenario where she was able to earn about half of her previous earnings. The husband, who had retired a bit early because he was in the same stressful line of work, he decided to go actually back into the workforce again to give some relief to his wife and take some of the earning pressure off of her. And then as those inherited assets began to come in, they were able to have the option, if they wanted to fully retire, they would have the option to cover their health insurance costs before reaching age 65 when Medicare would kick in. And then they also had the option to not get rid of the cabin goal, but just postpone it a bit until some of the more immediate priorities were addressed. And then we left that cabin goal in the financial plan as something that would transpire in a future season if they still agreed that it was important down the road once things were settled at home.
That's really great. Just about 45 seconds remaining, Rachel. So I know you've done this process over and over again with clients. Talk about the fruit. What's the result that comes as you watch clients live out their purpose and their passions and their values in the financial decisions they're making?
I will say for clients who are willing to operate out of surrender and really desire to choose, what do I believe God's will is and God's purpose is for my life and for my finances? The number one fruit that I experience is actually freedom from regret. And then you also see the fruit of the Spirit, the peace and the joy and the connectedness with one another, the love that can come from operating out of that sense of wholeness.
Wow, that's powerful. Rachel, really appreciate your insights. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
That's Rachel McDonough, Certified Financial Planner and Certified Kingdom Advisor. If you'd like to find a CKA in your area, just go to faithfi.com and click Find a CKA. We'll be right back. Stick around.
And running down, I missed the last two steps, and I fell and broke my back. And I did not have to have surgery.
Have you ever been encouraged by AFR?
I tell you, it's a miracle how that was.
Whether it's a life-changing event or just a helpful voice in your day, we'd like to hear how AFR has been there for you. Call 877-876-8893 and tell us your story. That's 877-876-8893.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for AFR.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
Here in the foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
I'm so thankful you've joined us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to turn the corner. Let's talk about anything financial. What's on your mind today? I'm sure there's some things kind of rolling around in your mind related to your financial management, and perhaps you'd like a sounding board to talk about those. Here's our promise to you. We'll process your question with hope and encouragement. We'll also look at the decisions you're making through a biblical lens. Just like all of the programming here on American Family Radio, our goal is to help you live with a biblical worldview in every area of your lives. That certainly includes your finances. Why does God have so much to say in his word about this topic? It's not because he wants something from us. It's because he wants something for us. It all belongs to him. And so really, he's after our hearts. Well, money management is one of the training grounds of the heart. I like to say it's the most clearest indicator into what's going on in our lives spiritually. Larry Burkett used to talk about that all the time. And as we look at the heart issues under the financial decisions, it really causes us to ask why, and should, as believers, draw us back to our knees so we can say, Lord, we want you in our financial lives. Help me to take my values and my priorities as a Christ follower and allow my money management to be a reflection of that, where you're taking me, what you're doing in my life and my family, and help me to order my finances so I can respond to your leading with regard to my generosity. Let's talk about whatever you're thinking about today. The number is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Adam's standing by today to take your calls. We'll get you on the air quickly, and you can call anonymously if you'd like. I'd also love to hear your testimonies. You know, every week we hear from a number of folks that say, let me tell you my story. I've been applying these principles for a long, long time, and here's how it's worked out in my life. I haven't been without difficulty, but I can tell you that as I've been faithful, God is certainly faithful. And here's what that looks like. If you've been applying biblical wisdom in your finances and you'd like to share your story, give us a call. 800-525-7000. Also coming up a little later in the broadcast, Jerry Boyer will stop by, our resident economist. Couldn't come at a better time, as we've now had a week's time to process what started in Silicon Valley with the SVB, Silicon Valley Bank, spread to a few other banks. And now the question is, where do we find ourselves? Is this something that's going to continue to give evidence to some problems in the banking sector? Or is this really something that's come and gone and we'll learn from it and move on? We'll find out from Jerry Boyer today as he gives us an update on where we find ourselves with the state of the U.S. banking sector and the economy, with the Fed once again front and center in terms of where they're heading with interest rates in the days ahead. You know, folks, as we think about our money management, we started today by talking about our values. And I appreciate so much Rachel McDonough stopping by. You know, that's an example of an advisor who really knows that we've got to start with our faith when it comes to our finances. And if you've never gone through a values exercise, it could be as simple as just sitting down and saying, you know, what is most important to us? Let's set the numbers aside for a second. You know, where is God taking us? What do we want to be known for as a family? Is it our ability to be lavish with our generosity? Is it the ability to build memories through trips and other experiences with our family? Is it the ability to just to live simply so that we have a chance to give generously? I mean, what is it that you want to be known for, and how can you uncover that and then allow your finances to be really evidence to that? Do you want to be able to make an impact, not only with your giving, but maybe through your capital deployment? through faith-based investing, investing in companies that are promoting human flourishing or even having a kingdom impact. I think when we start with that question, really the 90% of the iceberg that's below the waterline that really is the why before the how, then the how becomes entirely different because now, well, we're just putting plans to what God has told us is ultimately most important. Hey, in just a minute, we're going to begin taking your phone calls today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Go ahead and get in on the conversation with us today. We'd love to hear from you and whatever you're thinking about. Once again, 800-525-7000. Let's dive in today. We're going to begin in Indiana. Hi, Kathy. I understand you have a testimony. Go right ahead.
Yes, I do. It's on behalf of our daughter. And God worked in a wonderful way through our son, who's 10 years older than our daughter. She was a single mom and got into credit card debt. She did own her own home and had a job that was a good job, but she had some housing expense, a water heater, and then some medical expense, and then things snowballed. And it looked really challenging. And our son, who is a numbers whiz, came up with a plan for her, and he helped. They talked it through, walked it through, and he ended up kind of like Trinity does, only he paid her credit card off. And wow. Then she paid him by the month, and that took away all the interest. But one of the ways that God worked is she had person after person, friend after friend, kept telling her, you just need to claim bankruptcy. You need to claim bankruptcy. And she did not want to do that. And how she ended up getting an offer for a job and had to move. And our son lived in the area where she moved. A friend of he and his wife was able to rent her a room so that she didn't have to have a whole apartment. Yeah. And then she was getting a wonderful salary, but then she got a raise of like $10,000. And it was just so cool because she was faithful. She tithed. She worked hard. And she was able to pay down the credit debt. And she has not had any credit card debt since then. And this happened wow. a couple years, just in the last, I think she paid it off 2 years ago, and awesome. It was so cool because, like I say, person after person, even some friends with faith, yeah. you know, said, oh, just go ahead and claim bankruptcy, and she just refused to do that, and when this plan came up, it just was wonderful. And then
incredible.
How God was so faithful.
Yeah.
So we were really, really thankful.
I'm sure you were proud, parents. Listen, you've done something right because you must have modeled that for her brother to step in with that plan and for her to commit to repay it and watch God work. Incredible. Thanks for calling, Kathy. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live. 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
Oh, we use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org.
CHministries.org.
45,000.
That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Court, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
God owns it all. We're stewards or managers. Therefore, money is a tool to accomplish His purposes. I am Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We've got some phone lines open for your questions and comments today, maybe even your testimonies of God's faithfulness. 800-525-7000. What are you thinking about financially? Let's talk about it together. 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. By the way, I'm going to be in Tupelo, if you happen to be around the Tupelo area, April the 20th, for an AFA Foundation town hall. That's right. I'll be there with Wesley Wildman and Riley Wildman, the director of the AFA Foundation. And we'll be sharing more about the incredible work of the AFA Foundation that I'm sure you have come to love and appreciate the work of the American Family Association. Well, the AFA Foundation is how that work will continue well into the future, and you can actually be a part of it. You'll learn more about that at that event. I'll be also sharing a biblical view of investing, giving, and even leaving a lasting legacy. So if you'd like to join us, if you're in the Tupelo area or you can travel there, we'd love for you to check out more at afa.net/events. Hey, just before the break, we were talking to Kathy. I love that testimony that Kathy shared about her daughter who was in credit card debt. A couple of things jumped out at me. Number one is Kathy and her husband must have done something right because her kids, number one, her daughter was committed despite encouragement from others to stay the course and make an absolute commitment to repayment. Her brother wanted to help to the extent that not only did he come up with a plan to help her pay off that debt, he actually put up the money to do it. I don't know that I would always advise that just because things can go awry. He obviously did it out of a generous heart, wanting to help his sister, which is incredible. I love that. She stayed the course in paying it off, which taught her the discipline of wise stewardship. And so that means there's probably a very low chance she'll ever be in credit card debt again. That's a great way to go. I love that she was willing to live simply and modestly to take any increases in her pay and apply it to her debt reduction. I mean, there's just so much there that I think gives evidence to what it looks like to be found faithful as a wise steward. What an incredible story we heard. So, folks, if you've got a story like that, or you've got a question financially speaking with any area of your finances, whether it's your own credit card debt you're trying to get out of, or maybe it's looking at your long-term savings or investments, maybe your credit score or your giving, whatever it is today, give us a call. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. By the way, we have some good news for prospective home buyers. It's slightly good news, but nevertheless good news. Mortgage rates have dropped a little this week. If you have excellent credit and you're looking for a 30-year fixed rate mortgage, the average rate is now 6.6%. And you might be saying, Rob, that doesn't sound very exciting. Well, that's down about a quarter point from last week. It's the first decline in more than 6 weeks, and it's in light of what we're seeing going on in the banking sector, which could give rise perhaps a little quicker to a possible recession this year. It's small, but it's welcome relief for home buyers, with the monthly cost of owning a home up now 30% over last year, which is obviously hitting a lot of new home buyers in the pocketbook. The average monthly mortgage payment, listen to this, an all-time high now of $2,563, according to real estate brokerage Redfin. So cost of ownership is way up, and that means it's if you're looking for a home, just make sure you don't overbuy. The last thing I'd want you to do is really get in a difficult spot financially. One of our underwriters here at Faith and Finance is Movement Mortgage. You know, we looked for a mortgage partner for a long, long time, wanting a national firm that could serve our listeners with a biblical worldview, but really with a very effective approach to mortgage processing, both in terms of rates and just the way that our listeners are served. And we were so delighted about the relationship we were able to establish with Movement Mortgage. So if you're in the market and anywhere in the U.S. for a mortgage, I would just encourage you to learn more at movement.com/faith. That's movement.com/faith. And I think you'll be excited to see the impact they're having, not only in re-engineering the mortgage business, but also the impact that they're having for the kingdom of God, literally all over the globe. It's pretty spectacular. All right, we've got some phone lines open today. We'd love to hear from you, 800-525-7000. Before we head back to the phones, though, Karen called and she couldn't hold, but she asked a really great question. She wanted to know, is it possible to give to a donor advised fund from a trust? And the answer simply, Karen, to that is yes, absolutely. By the way, the donor advised fund, what's often called a DAF or a DAF, is one of my favorite tools for giving, because think of it like a charitable checking account. It's kind of like a private foundation, except there's virtually no paperwork or administration involved. It's a quick process to set up a donor advised fund, and there's not any ongoing paperwork or filings that you have to do. It's very simple to maintain, but it can be very effective because you can not only put cash into it, but you can put assets into it as well. Stock holdings, you can put real estate, even a business interest. Really, just about anything can go into a donor advised fund. And if we give then sell, as opposed to sell and then give, we can have huge tax advantages, which just simply means more money going into the kingdom. Here's one of the benefits, though, of giving to the DAF from the trust is it can allow the trustee to get the money that's allocated to generosity into the donor advised fund. The trustee doesn't have to work with multiple charities. All the money goes in just at one time. We get rid of all the ongoing maintenance and paperwork and oversight. And then let's say the kids are now charged with giving that money away. Well, they can come together and just work using the donor advised fund to distribute that money at their leisure and to the ministry and causes that either are named by the parents on the parents' hearts, or if it's left up to them as they make those decisions themselves. But again, a very effective tool that you ought to check out if you don't know about it. Learn more at ncfgiving.com. That's the National Christian Foundation. They call it a giving fund. All right, back to the phones we go. 800-525-7000. Let's head to Iowa. Hi, David. Go right ahead, sir.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Yes. So I'm 65 and a half, and I retired at the end of the year last year, receiving a $1,500 a month pension, and I'm trying to figure out when to kick off Social Security. I have the pension, I have IRA, Roth IRA, I have some cash, and I don't really want to touch the IRAs until the market recovers.
Sure.
You know, if
sure.
I can keep every penny in there, I can. Yeah. I've got about $18,000 cash, which includes emergency fund and you know, new car or replacement car expense is going to have to happen.
Sure.
And I'm expending probably $1,000 a month out of cash, trying not to take Social Security to let it become as big as possible.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I looked on the bottom of my foot and I couldn't find an expiration date, so it's hard to run.
I've been
the
looking for that as well. Yeah. What is the balance in that, roughly, in that IRA?
So the rollover in the Roth IRA is about $400,000.
Okay, and so you're pulling about $1,000 a month right now from the either the Roth or the rollover.
No, I'm pulling the $1,000 from cash, checking accounts. That's so includes emergency fund and everything else.
Yeah, so you're depleting that to $1,000 a month, which currently stands at $18,000, but every month that's declining by about $1,000 until you either draw from the investments or take Social Security. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll give you my thoughts on where we go from here. That was really helpful, David. Phone lines are open, 800-525-7000. Give us a call on Faith and Finance, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is Jan Markell, and next on Understanding the Times Radio, I talk to two who are trying to sound the alarm that there is a movement in the church that is sending wolves among the flock. How do we identify them, and how can we protect the sheep that are forever harmed by these wolves? That's next on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central and Sunday afternoon at noon Central on American Family Radio. Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our good friend Jerry Boyer, president of Boyer Research, and our resident economist. Jerry will give us his take on the banking sector a week after the demise of Silicon Valley Bank. A lot been moving this week. We'll get Jerry's take on all of it just around the corner. We were talking before the break with David, really wanting to know what is the right time to take Social Security. He's 65 and a half, so not yet at full retirement age. He is retired. After his pension that he has coming in, he still needs about $1,000 a month in order to cover his bills. He would like to know, should he go ahead and take Social Security now or should he wait? He's got about $400,000 in retirement investments, Roth and traditional IRA, but he would like for that to recover and doesn't want to take much out of that, if any. And he's got $18,000 in cash. You know, David, I would love for you to delay this as long as possible, certainly to full retirement age to get your full benefit. And then from that point forward, I love the idea of you getting that guaranteed 8% a year or 1/12 of 8% increase in that check permanently up to age 70. I think the good thing is that I can certainly appreciate you're not wanting to tap that IRA, but you know, if we're talking about only pulling essentially 3% a year out of that, I still kind of like that because we shouldn't be impacting the principal much. The vast majority of that portfolio is going to be sitting right there to recover. And while we enter, you know, perhaps a sideways market here for a bit, maybe even several years, where the market probably isn't going much of anywhere in one direction or the other, you know, I like the idea of you getting that guaranteed increase of 8%. I don't want you to drain fully that cash. So I think your two options are, do we, you know, start drawing something from that Roth IRA, knowing that 3% is a very reasonable amount. And at some point here, between 12 months and, maybe 48 months, when you're 70, you are going to start taking Social Security. And when you do, you'll be able to stop drawing anything from that investment account, because you should have a surplus, I would imagine, once Social Security starts coming in. So I think if it were me, I'd probably opt for taking that modest 3% a year from the 400,000 once we get down to a level where you don't feel like you can drain, your cash any longer, which is probably where, you have at least 3 to 6 months expenses plus the car amount that you need. But if you just feel like, no, I don't want to take a dollar out of that, well, then I think at some point here, in the next year, you're going to need to go ahead and tap Social Security.
Security would put me well over the, burdened expenses and
sure.
allow me for what I want to do in the post-career, and I'm looking at some volunteer things that's going to take some funds, so it's like I can't even make those decisions when I'm just getting by for these few months,
yeah.
To make that decision.
And it may come back. I mean, where we started today with Rachel McDonough on this idea of starting with our values before we make financial goals, I hate for you to start with the idea that, well, I either take Social Security or I don't, and I'm either giving up the 8% or I'm getting it. What if there's a question before that that just says, where is God taking me? What has he placed on my heart right now in terms of my values and how those values can then reflect goals? And if there's things you're wanting to do right now, things that, with your time and how you, can have an impact in the lives of the people around you and for the kingdom of God, then I would say, let's let that be the driver. And if that means we take Social Security next month, because now all of a sudden, it's a non-issue, you've got a surplus, now you're freed up to be used by the Lord in whatever the way he leads, I don't think that would be a bad decision either.
I appreciate that. Also, I meet with my advisor in a couple of weeks, and his advice last year was, well, get a part-time job. And after a couple of months of retired life, I'm like, I don't want to go back to work.
Yeah.
I want that freedom.
Yeah. Well, I think one of those questions that Rachel mentioned earlier in our broadcast was,
yes.
Do we, in this season of life, do you want to have more impact or do you need more income? And if it's really about impact and the way you can use your time in this season of life, where you have still a lot of energy and a lot of wisdom and experience to use in for the kingdom of God, let's do that. And if that means we take Social Security right now to solve for an income gap, well, that's great. Money's a tool, and let's let it be a tool to free you up to do the things God has called you to do. So I wouldn't be down on that idea. I think that actually is a really great idea, because as you said, none of us know the day or the hour the Lord is going to call us home. So let's live for him to our full ability in the here and now. And if we can do that by taking advantage of the funds you have coming to you from Social Security, well, I'd say go for it. So, David, thanks for your call today, my friend. God bless you. Hey, let's take a moment and talk to our friend Jerry Boyer. Jerry is president of Boyer Research. He's the resident economist here at Faith and Finance. He's a contributor at World Opinions. He's actually got a recent column about the subject we'll unpack a bit today on the banking sector. And Jerry, you and I talked on Monday. Obviously, a lot of this was unfolding. I don't know that we know everything today, but we certainly know more. What's your latest assessment on where we find ourselves?
Well, I remember we talked about this on Monday, and I said, there will be other banks to talk about when we talk on Friday.
Yeah.
it will not just be a Silicon Valley bank. There will be the names of other banks on our lips. Like, for instance, First Republic is at the top of the Wall Street Journal front page today, or at least the online version, because these things do tend to trigger levels of scrutiny where you say, okay, something obviously was wrong with Silicon Valley Bank. Is there something wrong with other banks?
Yeah.
And regulators and lawyers and CPAs and investors who are short sellers, the people who make money when stocks go down, they go looking around to see, are there other gazelles that are vulnerable, to switch analogies? So that's what we're seeing. We have not seen a full-fledged kind of cascade of bank failures. It's been fairly limited, which is not surprising. So where we are today is pretty much where I thought we'd be today when you and I talked on Monday.
Interesting. And so what's your just thoughts on kind of the response, the government response at this point? Obviously, Yellen is out saying that, no, nothing to worry about here. You know, the banking sector is fine. The government response was appropriate. But just keep in mind, moving forward, don't assume that we're automatically going to protect you beyond the $250,000 guarantee. And then you've also got, obviously, Switzerland, you know, jumping in with support on Credit Suisse. So what are your thoughts on the government response?
Right. And why Switzerland? Because it's essentially an international banking capital, right? You know, kind of it's the base of its economy. So it's going to be more vulnerable to this. And Yellen saying, don't automatically assume, you know, we're going to secure above 250,000, but, you know, we are, but don't automatically assume it. I mean, once this precedent is set, how in the world can they not, you know, guarantee deposits above this level, unless they're seen as completely, I say, politically biased, like a, you know, like maybe she's more politically connected with Silicon Valley Bank, but maybe if you're a bank in Houston that's tied to that terrible fossil fuel industry, maybe you won't get the same treatment. You know, what markets are saying this week, markets are reacting as though the future Fed hikes are off the table. When you have a round of bank collapses are deflationary. Why are bank collapses deflationary? Because banks, in essence, kind of can create money just like the Fed can. So you put your money, you know, go back to, you know, It's a Wonderful Life, right? Your money's not here. Your money's in Martini's house, right? So your money's not here, but you've got an account there. So that money kind of exists for you as a depositor because you're willing to spend it and you make decisions as though that money's real. But that money is in somebody else's house. And then that gets lent out and that gets lent out, and that's called the money multiplier. So banks can like keep 10% of the money and loan out the other 90% of the money, and that expands the money supply. Now, economists debate about whether you should call that money or not. That's something called M2. I'm not going to debate about whether you should call it money or not. All I'm saying is, when I've got something in my bank account, I think of it as money and I act as though it's money, and I think everyone else does, no matter what economists theoretically say that it is. Well, when banks fail, that process goes in reverse, and that's what we saw in 2008 and 2009, which was a deflationary crisis, and it was a banking crisis. So markets are saying, well, wait a minute. The Fed's been fighting inflation. They've been risking a recession. They probably went too far. And that's why this week, even though all the sentiment indicators said Fed is going to back off, they're not going to hike rates next week. Maybe they'll never hike again. Rates are never going to get up to 5%. That's what the futures market is saying as of last night when I looked. Nevertheless, cyclicals are still performing poorly, as if the markets are saying, well, we think the Fed is going to reverse course, but it might be too late. They might have gone so far that they cannot avoid a recession. And that is a reasonable point of view for the markets to take.
No question about it. We've got just about a minute left. Brian Westbury, the economist that you and I know, Jerry, said really these policies started in 08, which are leading to a national bank. Quantitative easing was never a good policy, but the Fed and politicians don't care because every day they get closer and closer to running the entire financial system from Washington. What do you think about that idea?
My old buddy Brian Westbury's right. He and I were on calls with the White House at that time together, begging them not to do this. Now the chickens have come home to roost.
Yeah, unfortunately. Well, Jerry, obviously we're going to continue to talk about this and watch the data as it unfolds. And once again, all our eyes are on the Fed, so we'll see what they do in the days ahead. We appreciate you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
Same to you. God bless.
All right. Jerry Boyer, a resident economist, he joins us each Friday to give us his insights on the markets and the economy and today the banking sector. We'll continue to talk about this in the days ahead. Folks, I hope you have a great weekend. So thankful that you stopped by today with your questions, with your testimonies of God's faithfulness. Go out there and live for Jesus. Live fully surrendered to Him, loving God and not money. Don't take your cues from the world. Take it from God's Word. It's timeless. It's transcendent. And it's always right. Hey, I'm grateful for my team today. Pat Montague, Adam Suddeth, Jim Henry, and Devin Patrick. Couldn't do it without them. Have a great weekend. Come back and join us on Monday. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.